Hey everybody, it's Eric Clark with Mega Brands. It's October 26th, Thursday, after Amazon's report. And as you know, tech in general, tech, consumer discretionary, comm services have sold off pretty hard over the last week or two. Sentiment, you know, in the growth sectors all of a sudden just kind of fell sour as market breadth started to deteriorate again. So I wanted to take a look at Amazon. Amazon's the top holding in the brands fund. It's about 13% of the total. And on any dips after seeing this report, we're going to add to that and make the position bigger, because the view is that they still have more potential upside than any of the other mega cap names. And I'm going to talk to you about why. So I noticed this is not a, I didn't spill anything. This is a mock tie-dye t-shirt made by my daughter. So a little casual after a bike ride, after listening to the call. You know, listen, we went into the earnings report pretty cold because we had Google miss, particularly on Google Cloud. The core ad business was actually pretty good. Meta's number was generally pretty good. The market didn't care. I think Apple will be maybe next week. You know, I'm a little cautious about that one. We've trimmed that one with some, you know, there's obviously a lot of China risk in that one. Tesla obviously missed, you know, kind of a self-imposed miss because they've chosen to keep volumes high and you know, give some margin up. But Amazon is interesting because, you know, here's a couple of fun facts. So for the 10 years leading up to the market's peak in November of 2021, Amazon was the biggest and best outperformer of the group. I'm just looking at some numbers here. Amazon annualized at 33.6% per year for the last 10 years leading up into the peak in November 21st. Apple at 26%, Google 26, Microsoft 31, Meta 25, the S&P annualized at 16. So heading into the peak of the market, including COVID, Amazon was the biggest and best performer of the group. Now we know through COVID, Amazon was forced in many ways. They had so much demand. They essentially pulled forward a massive amount of logistics build out all in like a 2 or 3 year period. Like they literally spent and built another UPS in like 3 years, which is remarkable in and of itself. So they spent a lot of money though, right? CapEx went vertical. And historically when Amazon has these big spending cycles, and this was the most historic of them, of all of them in its history, the stock tends to lag. And so you essentially had double the revenues over the last 3 years to almost $590 billion of revenue as of today's latest quarter. But the stock is down, it's annualized at minus 8% for the last 3 years. And it's like plus 6% for the last 5 years. Radical underperformance relative to how it tends to perform. And so the question is something broken at Amazon, or is there a major mean reversion opportunity? And I would argue that there is not anything broken with Amazon. They just built a massive infrastructure, spent a lot of money. Free cash flow went to the floor and in many cases went negative. Operating income went low. Margins were cut in half. AWS was growing pretty well. It's decelerated over the last four quarters, but the moral of the story on Amazon is you are now coming out of that major CapEx spend on the retail logistics. You will get a ramp up in the AWS and AI spending, but that comes at a much higher margin once it's monetized. So, you know, we have multi-decade histories of seeing Amazon spend money on innovation only to then monetize that and vault, you know, revenue vaults, margins vaults, market share vaults. So there's no reason not to not to assume that's going to happen again. And so the overarching thesis on Amazon is, one, there's a major major catch up play in the stock. Most of the metrics are depressed. The operating metrics, ROEs, operating margins, operating income, et cetera, those are all well below long-term averages. And right before COVID hit, these things were all trending really well into breakout territory. And so they were all reset lower, and now we're inflecting higher. And there's actually more operating leverage in the core retail business, operating metrics inflecting back to quote normal, than there is in AWS. Remember, AWS is still only, you know, 15 to 18% of the total revenue of Amazon. There, the bulk of the profitability is coming from AWS. So I understand why people are so focused on where AWS goes, but it's still less than 20% of the total business. And yet everybody focuses strictly on AWS. So one, there's a mean reversion opportunity in the stock. The stock needs to reset higher as a lot of these metrics reset back to where they were. And because of the size and scale of those metrics, it's going to be significant. It certainly should be significant. So I will absolutely place my stake in the thesis that there is more upside by far in Amazon stock than there is in any of the other mega cap seven, magnificent seven, whatever you want to call them, names. Here's the thing. Again, everyone loves to focus on AWS, and I understand why. It's a major innovation driver, and it's still literally early days. And so, you know, as companies try to identify how they need to spend on AI, where they need to spend, who their partners are going to be, where they're going to get the money to spend, what areas they're going to cut, that takes some time, right? So everybody expects us to go from zero to 120 miles per hour in AI innovation and spending overnight. And that's just not realistic. It started with NVIDIA. It started with Microsoft, with ChatGPT, great $10 billion investment in OpenAI. And it will start to bleed into other areas, Microsoft being one. But if you look at, you know, from the IPO in 97 all the way up to 2014, when they really started breaking out AWS, at that time, AWS was like $5 billion worth of revenue. It was insignificant on a $90 billion revenue company, right? The stock of Amazon without any impact from AWS annualized about 27% versus 7% on the market. And that's, by the way, going through the internet bubble and the crash, right? The stock went down 90% or so from the peak in March of 2000 or thereabouts to the trough sometime in early 2003, if memory serves me. So even with a major crash in tech stocks and Amazon included, the stock still annualized like well above the S&P 500 with zero help from AWS. So don't forget about the core retail business. It's still a major driver, stable, predictable, you know, 8 to 10% grower every year. Margins will over time creep higher, particularly as this logistics CapEx rolls off. And, you know, with more volumes comes more efficiencies because the system has been built and enhanced. And so you're going to see those margins return and even go higher over time. And at that scale, there's a lot of leverage and profitability embedded in that potential opportunity. So people focus on one thing, AWS. And yes, based on just a Microsoft comp, AWS is probably worth $1 trillion. If it were a standalone business, it's probably $1 trillion, $1.1 trillion type of business. The market cap on Amazon today in total is like 1.2 trillion and change. So the vast majority of Amazon's market cap comes from AWS. So you're basically getting the ads business and the core retail business, which is like $440 billion in revenue for free. That's how like silly this kind of disconnect is. And again, the disconnect exists because of this major ramp in spending over the last 3 years. And so when that turns, the stock should turn and have a major re-rating higher. So from this quarter's perspective, here's what we saw. Operating margins kind of rose higher, back up 7%. And those are going to fluctuate quarter to quarter. Free cash flow was very strong. The CapEx plan on retail is again rolling over. The expectations, I don't recall them getting into how much CapEx will be spent on AI, but it's, you know, it's going to be significant, not as significant as the core retail CapEx going down. Third-party sales were higher. The international core retail division got ever so close to profitability. Again, that'll take some time. The mature markets in Europe are already profitable. Some of the earlier countries are not profitable. It tends to take about 7 years, but as they grow in other markets, they will efficiently scale to profitability over there as well. And so, you know, looks like, you know, over the last year, just looking at my notes here, you know, operating margins went from 2% to 7.8% this quarter. That's up 290%. Net sales went from 127 billion to 143 billion. That's up 12%. AWS net sales, 20.5 billion to 23 billion. That's up 12% year over year. North American retail sales, 78.8 billion going to 87.8 this quarter. That's up 11%. International retail sales, 27 billion going up to 32 billion. That's up 18%. So all of those things, what would you think the stock has done over that 12-month period? Well, the stock was 115.66 at the end of the third quarter 2022 earnings report. The stock's 120, 121 today. So the stock's basically gone nowhere, and all of these metrics have improved anywhere from 10 to 15, 18%. With operating margins, which is huge for this business, by the way, going up 290%. So I'm telling you, when you see free cash flow vault back up and operating income vault back up, margins going up along with a growth reacceleration in AWS, this stock is going to have a lot of mojo to the upside. And I know everybody is concerned about a consumer slowdown. I'm always concerned. That's what I get paid for, to be worried all the time. But there's no real evidence sign that consumers are really slowing down. They're just making really important choices about where they spend, who their partners are. They are tending to cluster into things, i.e. we're trading down. We're spending more time at Trader Joe's. We're spending more time at Costco. We're spending more time and getting more productivity ordering on Amazon, particularly as Prime customers. Ordering, you know, when you can order things and get them the same day or you know, early the next day, that makes the decision really easy to just point click, get what you want and not think about it again, rather than take time out of your schedule to figure out when and where you can go out there. So as consumers cluster in their favorite brands, that will mean more to Amazon. And from COVID, you know, when customers are forced to change their habits, unless they have a horrendous experience, which you clearly don't at Amazon in particular, you just stay and you stay loyal forever. And so tens of millions more joined the Amazon flywheel and they're not leaving, and they're now shopping more and more. So there is a lot of growth in this core retail business. They will be the first company to ever have $1 trillion in revenue. They have a pretty decent lead over Apple and Microsoft already. And so at, you know, at roughly 600 billion today, you know, maybe in 2025, we're almost at 700 billion. It's only a matter of time, over time, until we have $1 trillion in revenue. So at $1 trillion in revenue, let's say it's 5 years from now, I don't know. Doesn't really matter. What matters is the trajectory is moving in the right direction. Profit margins are moving in the right direction. Innovation will continue. Public cloud still is early days. AI adoption still early days. All of that means the stock is really cheap relative to where it is today. And it's about 15 or 16% off its highs, literally from a month ago or so. So really interesting. Love the name. Largest holding. Still think there's 50% upside. And I think I'll end on this note. I don't love the sum of the parts analysis, right? That's probably one of the reasons why this thing's been held back a little bit. But if you just break out the core retail business, for instance, it's essentially, let's use a comp of Costco. It's essentially via sales and margins. It's a 2X of Costco. So that's, you know, roughly 500, 550 billion in market cap right there. Then you have the ad business. Use Google as a comp relative to the percentage of the total. That's probably worth another 200, 220 billion in market cap just on the ad business at 40 billion or so. Then you add the AWS business, use Microsoft as a comp there. That's, you know, given that margin profile, they're very similar as Azure is, very similar on the total revenues, very similar on the growth profile. So that's worth another trillion one. So that all adds up to about 1.8, 1.9 trillion. Again, the stock's at 1.2 trillion, just right there. And that doesn't take anything into consideration regarding operating metrics, getting back to where they should be, and then God forbid, even improving from there. So as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about Amazon. I love Apple as well. They're just not growing near as much. It's more of a financial engineering, high dividend growth, big buyback scenario there, but they do have it's the world's best recurring revenue machine because we have to upgrade our phones every 3 or 4 years, plus all the ancillary services that happen. I love Microsoft. Clearly they're leading, and it's a stable, predictable business tied to corporate IT spend. Love Satya Nadella and the team over there. I think there's probably, you know, 30% upside in Microsoft. Meta is a little bit more difficult for me. If they would just stop all the reality labs and all the crazy spending on VR and AR, I just don't think that'll ever be a meaningful part of their business when they could just innovate in the core business of WhatsApp, et cetera. But it's a pretty cheap stock at 15 or 16 times. So that one probably has another 20% upside. So, you know, the big wild card is certainly Tesla. If and when they decide to move margins back up and put pricing back up a little higher once the economy recovers, then I think that one will rip back. Because I do think that one will get back to a trillion in market cap, but that one's a little bit unsure about timing. NVIDIA, man, clearly the greatest innovator in semiconductors. They continue to drive new innovations and spread their wings into different markets, witness going potentially into the PC market and putting pressure on Intel. But you're already, you know, the current valuation and the market cap already reflects the next 5 to 10 years worth of pretty strong growth. So if there's any pull forward in some of this revenue, leaving some gaps in future quarters, whether it's next year or early in 2025, there's a meaningful pullback in the stock. Although we've already seen maybe a 20% pullback in NVIDIA. So it's getting a little bit more interesting to me, but you know, I feel the safest. I sleep at night the best with Amazon, given that they've been a major laggard for the last 3 and 5 years, which is very uncharacteristic of this company. They tend to be a big laggard. And, you know, at the end of the day, if the market does 8 to 10% a year over the long term, then the best companies, the leading companies and really important growth industries should, in theory, do at least 300 basis points more than the market. So let's say 13% a year. And in Amazon's case, going back to the IPO, was something like 31%. Even without AWS, it was 27%. So the fact that it's annualized at -8 on a 3 year and only 6 or 7 on a 5 year when the market's, you know, much more than that, I forget the number off the top of my head. That's some pretty significant mean reversion. Again, assuming the market or the company and its business is still relevant, and there is literally no evidence to support the company's not as relevant or more relevant and will be more relevant and more profitable going forward. So I like it. Even it's up about 5% after hours, after some good commentary talking about AWS trends. I still think it's cheap, and I will continue as a team. We'll continue to add to this thing on any dips that come with, you know, macro issues. The market's still a little tenuous. Sentiment's pretty poor, but this is definitely one to keep on your radar screen and nibble at on any dips from here. Hope that was helpful, and we'll talk to you next time, and we'll cover another earnings report. See ya.